Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 14th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 159, the second paragraph that begins with, "All this time, our friend of the hotel lobby." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Robin P., who will be reading the 12 steps, Jess S., who will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L. and Julie E. B. The share ID for Thursday, January 13th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,401, 18401. And for this morning's Friday, January 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 18,406. That's 18406. Our newcomer greeter for today is Sharon W., and Eileen M. will be making the announcement. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So, Robin P., if you would please read the 12 steps for us this morning.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Palm Beach, Florida, and I am very grateful to be reading these steps. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives could become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Robin P. And Jess S., if you would read the 12 traditions, please.
Yep. Good morning. This is Jess S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, Less problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Jess S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 159, the second paragraph that begins with "All this time, our friend at the hotel lobby," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Jordan L. If you could get us started, please.
Yeah. Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for moderating. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. All this time, our friend of the hotel lobby incident remained in that town. He was there 3 months. He now returned home, leaving behind his first acquaintance, the lawyer, and the devil-may-care chap. These men had found something brand new in life. Though they knew they must help other alcoholics if they would remain sober, that motive became secondary. It was transcended by the happiness they found in giving themselves for others. They shared their homes, their slender resources, and gladly devoted their spare hours to fellow sufferers. They were willing, by day or night, to place a new man in the hospital and visit him afterward. They grew in numbers. They experienced a few distressing failures, but in those cases, they made an effort to bring the man's family into a spiritual way of living, thus relieving much worry and suffering. And I guess what jumped out at me this morning was this line: these men had found something brand new in life. And I suppose it jumps out at me because that is that's been the case for me in Overeaters Anonymous. And I what's wonderful, I guess what's wonderful about this, like something new that I found, is that it continues to evolve and it continues to get bigger and better as I remain abstinent over time. And as I continue to work these steps, that's been my experience with the 12 steps, is that I continue to work them. It doesn't end. There's no finishing point. And even that concept right there is something that's kind of brand new for me in life. I think prior to this, I tend to be a very goal-oriented person, and that's how I do things. I set a goal, I take the steps to reach it, and it's all about reaching that goal, you know? And that's not really the way that it works here in Overeaters Anonymous. there is no goal. Like, the goal is a long and happy recovery, you know? And that's not really something that I, like, I reach for. It's something I participate in over time. And though they must help other alcoholics if they remain sober, that motive became secondary. It was transcended by the happiness they found in giving themselves for others. That's also been the case for me. I definitely was not setting out to save anybody else. I happily participated in this in order to stay abstinent myself. But what I found over time is that helping others, giving of myself in order to help other compulsive overeaters find what it is that I've found, it's not that it's elusive, it's that it's so simple and so delicate that it really has to be sought, right? And when I help others seek that, when I guide them through seeking that, my own problems disappear, even if it's just for an hour, sitting down, reading the big book with a sponsee, or getting on a meeting or whatever it is, my own problems disappear like magic. sometimes I even come out of that with a new perspective to be able to move forward and take some action in a different way than I've been able to take it before. So thank you for letting me share this morning. That's all I have.
And thank you, Jordan L., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we are on page 159, the second paragraph. All this time, our friend of the hotel lobby, reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this reading with me?
Julie E.B.
Anyone else? Press star 1 to unmute. I'll take your name.
Sharon W.
Sharon W.
Mo H.
Mo
Barb V.
Is that Barb V?
Yeah, Barb as in Barbara V.
Susan T.
Susan T. Okay, let's stop there. That's a great lineup. So I have Julie E.B., Sharon W., Mo H., Barb Z., and Sharon C. Okay, go ahead, please, Julie E.B. Star one to unmute, Julie. There you go.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I was very moved by this paragraph, by the fact that there's this discussion of this brand, found something brand new in life. And it's a movement from where you must help others to talking about the joy and happiness that I found giving myself for others. Now, I can't say I've been as generous as all of these folks here, but I have been the recipient of such generosity, of calling people, as one of our fellows say, snot nose crying, of learning that I'm not in it alone. I tried for many years to live a life that was all about what I would get. And I didn't know that because I cloaked my very self-seeking life, my very selfish life, in a job and a life that I thought was always for other people. And it wasn't until I went through the steps of this program, abstinent, that I came to understand that the kind of giving I was doing to others was really to make myself more comfortable, to manipulate even others. What I used to call, doing everything for other people was actually really just a way that I made things comfortable for myself. And so I came to know the word altruism means give without expecting a return. The opposite of a self-seeking life is a life of altruism, this life that's talked about of giving self without expecting a return. I gave to my family, to my friends, to my community, but what I wanted back was always affirmation or validation that I wasn't invisible, that I wasn't alone, that I was an okay person. And that never came from the outside in. And I tried and I ate everything. You know, most of you know I was 300 pounds, bedbound, 6 medical specialists. You know, this most recent, I'm just so grateful that I had the opportunity to learn a different way of life. At first, it was a must, like do this action, you should do it. And it was, and that's more that pushing, that self-will that pushes. But now it's a part of the natural flow, the natural stream of life that I don't always get right, but that I'm privileged to be a part of, to try and learn to give. And give even if I might not get anything back. Just give, send some love to one of my young adult kids, even if they might not answer back, then it might be another week. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. in Colorado. And Sharon W., you're up, followed by Mo H. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, thanks, Kathleen. This is Sharon W., gratefully recovered in Los Angeles. You know, the first thing for me is the very first sentence, because it brings back all the times that I was in a hotel lobby and made the wrong choice. I used to travel quite a bit, and when things didn't go the way I wanted them to go, I always found myself in the hotel lobby. I am so grateful that today, with this program, the steps, and especially service, that I no longer, I find myself in the hotel lobby happily on the phone with doing service and back in my room being in a good place. When I get a call and someone says, so-and-so suggested I call you, I'm looking for a sponsor, I'm so full of gratitude. And when they thank me, I say, no, thank you. Because just as, he found himself for 3 months in that hotel, he knew that was where he needed to be and what he needed to be doing. Just as I know when my phone rings, that is what I need to be doing. I don't always, honestly, sometimes the phone rings and my first thought is, am I going to be able to, help? Am I going to say the right thing? Am I going to do the right thing? And then by the time I hang up from a phone call, I feel so much gratitude, and it's like I've been reborn again, and this disease can't get me. So I don't usually share, and I just wanted to share it today because, honestly, that very first line kind of haunts me because I still remember all the times that I was in that hotel lobby and made the wrong choice. Anyway, thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Sharon W. from California. And good morning, Mo H. You are up, followed by Barb Z. Hello, Mo.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. It's Mo H., recovered compulsive eater here in Northern California. Well, I'm zeroing in on the middle of the paragraph also. These men had found something brand new in life. They knew they must help other alcoholics if they would remain sober. That's a condition. I must help another in order to remain abstinent. And then the last line, happiness they found in giving themselves for others. It's all about, step 12 for me is all about connection, connecting with others, carrying the message, being there for others. And I know I've spent the last 5 months isolating and dealing with deep depression and grief. And I'm slowly coming out of it and realize that connection is very important for my journey and helping others. And it is a joy to watch others recover and to be available for people when they make calls to me. I'm slowly answering the phone every time it rings and working on kind of forcing myself to make phone calls. Even this one this morning when there was this big space, I wasn't going to share. And then I thought, well, that's God nudging me to tell me, open your mouth and share. Someone needs to hear what God is sharing through you. So it has been quite a journey for me these last 5 months, very different. My life has totally changed, and I'm learning to accept, as my sponsor calls it, the new abnormal. And having abstinence along with the grief has been very supportive, because if I was into the food, it would be 10 times worse, probably even worse than that. But it is a joy for me to work with others, and I'm always open to helping somebody study this book, because I really have learned so much myself in this book. And this is the way it was passed on from Bill to Dr. Bob to Bill D. And then this Ernie G. was another person in this. So, step 12, connection, carrying the message. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo H. in California. And Barb C., you're followed by Susan T. Go ahead, Barb.
Good morning, everyone. This is Barb V. in also in Northern California, and I'm grateful to have a chance to share on this meeting. I've been listening for a long time, but this is my first time sharing. So I, too, was grateful for the open space. This passage always just really moves me, realizing that the antidote to our disease is helping others. I mean, what a beautiful thing. And that concrete way that, we never know the effects of our actions. We take one positive action and it ripples through the generations. And, we're all here because someone made that phone call to someone else. And I'm just really grateful for that. For me today, where it really helps a lot, I want in my program, there's just no question, right? I sponsor and I do other kinds of service for the program, and I always get back a lot more than I put in. It's harder for me sometimes to carry that spirit into other parts of my life where, I'm not surrounded by the shell of the program, And I've been having some really difficult times, both in my family and also at work. And what I find is that when I ask myself, well, what can I do today to make things better for someone else? How can I be of service? My own day goes better. Whether or not anything objectively changes, I have a better experience of those things, and I'm less likely to have desires to turn to the food. And I've remained abstinent through some pretty challenging circumstances, and I really attribute the principle of service to that. The last thing I want to mention, is that for me, the traditions provide a kind of safety net around doing service. I was really scared about making myself available, afraid that I would kind of become, overwhelmed by everyone's problems, or, that I wouldn't have my needs met. And if anyone else is having similar fears, what I want to just assure you is that our traditions, the steps tell us that service is necessary for our survival, and the traditions tell us how to do it safely. Anyway, thank you so much for the opportunity to share at this meeting, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Barb C. in California. And before I take you, Susan, I just want to remind everyone that we're on page 159, the second paragraph that begins with "All this time, our friend is a hotel lobby." And I'll be taking some more names for shares after Susan. So go ahead, please, Susan T. Star one to unmute, Susan. Okay, maybe we lost Susan. All right, if you have not shared in the past 3 days and would like to get in this lineup, I'm ready for your name.
Christy M.
Christy M.
Larry G.
Larry G.
Deborah G.
Danielle O.
G. Danielle O.
Laureen W.
Maureen W. And let me just stop for 1 second. Was there someone between Larry G. and Deborah G.? Did I miss someone there? I'll tell you who I have. I have Christy M., Larry G., Deborah G., Danielle O., and Maureen W. Did I miss anyone?
Robin
or anyone P. else want to get? Robin P.
And Jean J.
And Jean J. Okay, great. Let's stop there. Okay, Christy M. followed by Larry G. Go ahead, Christy.
Can you tell me what page we're on? What page?
We're on page 159, the second paragraph.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic, and overeater in Oregon. And this paragraph makes me think a lot of service and the different ways that I do service. And when I came in the disease, what I didn't understand is how much I was in the self, right? Like how much I thought about myself and what was going on with me. And there's something about being in my active disease that has me hyper-focused on me and really becoming insensitive and unaware of the needs of others. And I think of what we talk about in our program. One of the ways of doing service is working my program to my family. We talk about being a attraction of a promotion, not promotion, right, but attraction, that me working my steps and me bringing my program into all my affairs, that is a way that I do service, is showing up in my family, showing up in my workspace, showing up in my friends and being different, you know, not like dealing with my resentments and not bringing that into work, dealing with my fears, being honest. And when I'm doing my program, that allows me to show up in different spaces and different way. You know, right now I work in schools, and as you can imagine, it's really hard to stay positive. And as I have been doing, you know, my 10th and 11th step at night, one of the ways I think of that I can do service is to not be negative and just to show up and be positive. And like, how can I be of service to others? And like, when I get into that space of like, this is too much, I'm overwhelmed, every morning I show up and it's like, just show up, just be positive and continue to think of how can I be of service to others. And that just changes my whole perspective on my day and what I'm there for and gets me out of myself. And, so I just think of what a gift of when I work the program and how that enables me to show up and serve others in different spaces. And also, when I did do service prior, there definitely was a self-centered angle to it at times. It sometimes was a means of getting something that I wanted. And I think that's one of my biggest learnings in this program is it's about intentions. You know, like, what are my intentions going into this? And if I can let go of the outcome and I can let go of control and just show up and how others need me instead of how I think they should need me or what I think, I think that's a new way I serve. And it talks about that change. And I think how I serve has changed, and just my intentions when I show up. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Kathleen,
oh,
we
sorry.
Can hear you.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I just realized I was muted. Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Okay, Larry G., you're up, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Larry G. from California. This, to me, this statement describes a vision for you. I was 12-stepping this program by my Ebbe in May of 2020, and just the way that whole thing unfolded was a miracle in itself. I have found the fellowship here I've been craving. Been in OA since 1989, and there was a period of time where I was entirely absent. In fact, I was working the steps out of the big book with a OA sponsor who had also been in AA, and we studied the big book and the steps. I was entirely absent, and we had this meeting that was very much like vision. It was a Saturday night meeting, it was over 100 people, and a lot of recovery, and it was fellowship before the meeting and fellowship after meeting, and I learned the true spirit of altruism in that meeting. But the rest of the years in OA, not so good for me. I was not entirely abstinent. And when I read in a big book, commence working with others, and what that meant to me was that you would commence working with me. So I found a home here. I met a few of you in Northern California, and one day hopefully we'll have a conference and we'll get together as a family, and that would be a great joy. But one of the things I've gotten from a vision for you is just commence working with others. I've got some people I work with are sponsees. I feel like I'm not a sponsor, I'm more of a guide, and we have a partnership, and I just love working with these folks. And then making the calls, calling the new people has been the highlight of my day some days, especially when I'm in a dark mood. I pick the phone up. I think they're probably helping me more than I'm helping them. And I've had some amazing calls with new people. And we're just two people, like, you know, food drunks, just in a life raft, 12-stepping each other. And the joy I get from that has been the greatest part of this whole journey, has been commencing working with others. So when I read this paragraph, to me, it's a vision for you, and what we have here is so special. And I pass it back to you, Kathleen.
And thank you, Larry G. in California. And Deborah G., good morning. You're up, followed by Danielle L. Danielle O., sorry. Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Kathy. And thank you so much, Kathleen, for leading the meeting this morning. And thank you all for making this meeting possible today for us. And thank you all for all the shares in 12-stepping me today. Been an amazing meeting. I love this meeting. And I was looking at that sentence about these men had found something brand new in life. And I'm just so grateful that I have a design for living these beautiful 12 steps. I have a new way of living. And in living these steps, the steps live me. They do what they do to me, not by me. And in that experience, I get free of that self-centeredness. That's what my sponsor reminds me of, my problems, not my food. It's that self-centeredness, and I can turn to other-centeredness, which is so important to do that, because I know I've, you know, slipped back into that self-centeredness, and the feeling that I have isn't very good. It never turns out good. So in being of service, someone shared, a woman of 103 years old, waking up in the morning saying, God, what do you have for me today? And that's what I've started to practice. And just going about my day and use me, whatever I can do, whatever I can do, help whatever comes my way, you know. And then also in this program, you know, working with sponsees, protégés, with going through the steps and guiding them through the steps so that they can in turn do the same thing. And it just is a beautiful, beautiful way to live. And I want to share that with fellow sufferers. You know, I don't want to have anybody out there suffer the way that I had suffered. I remember that suffering, and it's such a free feeling to be able. And I'm learning that altruism that was shared, you know, just doing it and not expecting anything in return and just seeing what happens. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. That's all I have.
Deborah, where are you from? Oh, she muted too fast. Okay, Danielle O, you're up, followed by Maureen W. Go ahead, Danielle, and if you could tell us where you're calling from.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Danielle O from New York. I'm calling this morning because I want to just claim a seat and share what a blessing it is to even be able to claim a seat and admit my powerlessness over food and that my life is unmanageable. Been in and out. I've been right now currently not really in. And I just want to say that, you know, when I heard some of the people talking about all the other things that happen in life, and, you know, in general, there's so many good things happening in my life. But when it comes to food, this is my biggest struggle. You know, and I don't like to admit that I can't take this, handle this. So, you know, 2 days ago, I was on my knees pleading to God, please help me. And, you know, everything was pointing back to come to OA, come back to OA, come back to vision. And here I am because I cannot do this by myself. And as much as I plead to God, I need people on this earthly vessel to be able to walk this out with me. And to admit that and say that has always been a part of my story. I've always been in some form of 12-step program. But, you know, as I've watched myself go from, you know, from having a good abstinence to not having any, I want what others have, and that is the peace that comes with not overeating and admitting complete defeat. And that's kind of where I am today. And I know that I'm in the right place. I know I'm around the right people. I've been here for a while, and for various reasons, I step back, and for many other reasons, I step forward. So I'm glad I'm here today, and glad I had a moment to jump on and say thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. And that's all I have this morning. Thank you.
And thank you, Danielle O. from New York. Maureen W., you're up, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Maureen.
Hi, my name is Laureen W., not Maureen, and Hello. I am from
okay,
Massachusetts.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for my opportunity to speak at this meeting. I've been going to Visions for several years now and don't always get the opportunity to speak at a live meeting. What I learned from my own sponsor is that I am not taking my sponsee's hands and leading them through the program. I'm actually taking their hand and putting it in God's hands. And God is going to lead them through the program at their pace and how well they can do it. I'm just a facilitator for them. And I found that in my different sponsees that I have right now, we're at different levels of the program. Some have finished the step study, some have not, and that's okay. I can work with them and get them to the point where I feel more comfortable of where they are, and that they're giving to me much more, many times, than I can give to them. They're telling me their life experiences in program and how it has changed their lives. We talk about their food, the physical, the emotional, and of course the spiritual. And it's been such a blessing to my program to have sponsees. It's a great blessing that I have this step sponsor that has been always there for me in reminding me when I need to go back to step four and work the process in order to get rid of a resentment. And I've had to do that several times, whether it's shot in doing step 10 or whether I go back to the step four and go through the whole process again. but whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it because I need to be an example, but I need it to do it for my own recovery, to be in a place where I can see what God's will is for me. And boy, you know, I have many changes in my life, many opportunities that God has given me. And I believe each sponsee I have right now has been an opportunity from God. You know, I set the example, and you do it by just listening to people and understanding where they're coming from. And I feel as though I'm really blessed. I'm really blessed to be in this program. I was 300 pounds. Thank God I'm not even 200 pounds today. You know, and I joined 30 years ago this month. And no, it hasn't always been clean and abstinent. I've had my relapses like many others. But those were lessons too. Lessons too that I cannot do this program my way. It has to be God's way. And thank you very much again for letting me share and the opportunity to be a participant. And I've had several of my sponsees are already in Visions for You as well. I feel as though if I can work this program with Visions, I should give them the opportunity to do it as well. So thank you again.
And thank you, Laureen W. from Massachusetts. And good morning, Robin P. You're up, followed by Jean J.
Hi, thanks so much, Kathleen. Thanks for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, currently in Palm Beach, Florida, usually in Costa Rica. And, you know, it's such a good reminder. I cannot keep what I don't give away. And, you know, I just get to keep being of service to God and my fellows. And even in every area of my life, you know, just like I love these paragraphs because they're such a great reminder. Like this is, and it's the most joy in my day is when I'm being of service. And it's also the most grounding in my day when I feel like, oh, I know I'm supposed to be doing this right now. It's very confirming and comforting that I get to be of service. And it reminds me to be of service to my mom and, you know, in every area of my life, to be in the center of God's will for me. You know, my sponsor's going up through a lot with her husband, and she's letting go of everything in her, all of her commitments right now. And I feel like reading this, I think, oh, my gosh, I think that's the opposite. When we're going through things, I think we need to be of service. But I'm also powerless over people, places, and things. So I am now looking for a sponsor. And so it's you know, I just do a weekly check-in because I've been through the steps. And I also believe that it's important to have a sponsor when I'm sponsoring. So it's just I get to surrender and I see the importance and that this is God's timing, you know, that it's really important to stay in service. And I'm so grateful. And I believe that everything's perfect. I know I'm in God's care. And I just get to reach out and that positive vulnerability of asking for help and just practice, you know, what I preach. So God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. And thanks so much again.
Thank you, Robin P. in Florida. And Jean J., go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. This is Jean J. in Oregon. I was struck by the idea of service. So for me, life as a practicing addict was one of insufficiency and fear. And my focus was on getting enough, which was over the top of my feelings of worthlessness, uselessness. So I stepped on the toes of others because it was all about me. Program has taught me that I have a higher power that cares and protects me. And now that I'm coming to and realizing that I'm a Teflon woman, protected by my higher power, by God. And I, from that space, I can move out and see about giving, both in program and beyond. It's a wondrous thing for me, a miracle. working toward being a giver as opposed to a getter. And I see now why all those years I needed to self-medicate with compulsive eating. And I'm very grateful to have some proper guidance and be in a group of folks that are striving for similar ends. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean J. in Oregon. And we actually have time for another share. Would someone else like to share on this paragraph this morning, page 159, the second paragraph?
This is Elaine from New York. I'd like to share.
Okay, go ahead, please, Elaine.
Thank you. About doing service, I've learned from way back, like 7 years ago, that you can't keep it unless you give it away. And I found yesterday was a real rough day for me, that my my father, I didn't know if he died the night of the 13th or the 14th. They found him found dead in his sleep. But it was a rough day for me, and also today. And I found really relying on God yesterday a lot, and the program, and doing the tools and the steps, and, you know, reaching out to the newcomer, helping others, that's what really, really helped me a lot, you know, to get out of myself. Because, like I said, it was a rough day yesterday. And I don't know. All I know is that many times at the end of a meeting, I will write down the newcomers and call them. Call the newcomer, you know. And it helps me just as much as it helps them. And, that's about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine, from New York. I didn't get your initial there. Okay, so I think that will wrap it up for today. Thank you, everyone who shared, and a special thanks to Team Friday this morning for helping this meeting go so smoothly. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Julie E.B., if you would please read a vision for you.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.